This is an ABC podcast.
Salo Falava, I'm Afamasanga Seyuli Salamasina Von Reiki, and I'm inviting you to join me on a journey through the evolution of our Pacific cultures on Culture Compass. We'll meet incredible people dedicated to preserving traditions while adapting them for today's world. Join me as we travel the Pacific to celebrate our resilience, revival, and deep-rooted connection.
Search for Culture Compass wherever you get your podcasts to listen.
ABC Radio Australia. This is Fresh Off the Field. The sporting spirit of the Pacific.
Malola Lee and welcome to Fresh Off the Field, the sporting pulse of the Pacific. My name is Sam Wykes and I love bringing you Pacifica sports news and stories each week here on the show, as well as everywhere else you might see me pop up across the ABC. And as usual on Fresh Off the Field, we'll be joined by two co-hosts from across the Pacific who will share the latest local sports news in the island. So let's get to them right now. My first co-host is PNG journalist and media manager for Football PNG. Hello, we'll get that to Patricia Kiamo.
Hey Sam, it's good to be back. I think the last one we did was a live one here, so
Yes, it was. How long ago is that now? It feels like forever, but I'm planting some seeds to try and get back over there to do another show with you, but we'll see how that unfolds. But how's everything been over there in PNG since I haven't been there?
Oh yeah, look, it's been a really hectic couple of months. Lots happening, you know, all competition season winding down, some more big stuff coming up, which we'll talk about in the show. But yeah, it's been all things sport hectic.
And the big one this week with the rugby league, the Prime Minister's games are on. How are the preparations? How are the people of PNG prepping for this one?
Yeah, you know, people are already scrambling to buy tickets. One side, I think the eastern stand of the stadium's already been sold out. Club lounge already sold out. So, yeah, you know, we love our footy here. So people are really scrambling to buy tickets before the big day.
What's the club lounge? Is it a fancy place to watch the game?
Yeah, you know, like VIP corporate boxes and, yeah.
Okay, so that's where you will be, I'm assuming?
Hopefully I get to go because I work on Saturday, so...
Media pass gets you everywhere. That's the trick, isn't it?
Yes, yeah, that's one of the perks we enjoy.
Yes, of course. But let's get to my other co-host for today. She's been in Europe for the Women's Rugby World Cup. It is former Fijiana captain, now working at Fiji Rugby, and a lot more, Bula Vinaka Leilani Burns.
Hey, Bula Vinaka, Sammy and Patricia. Really great to be back on Fresh Off the Field with you guys.
Hey, the World Cup's been finished for, what, maybe a week now over there? But you've obviously missed your flight and haven't returned home. You're still on the junket?
Yeah, no, I haven't missed my flight. I've been actually a little bit busy.
Oh, you have? You're working over there?
I have been. We've got some really exciting things that I can't let out of the bag just yet, but some really exciting matches that are being teed up for Fiji Rugby. So watch this space.
Oh, how good. Yeah. What's that? 4 months in the role and you're already making waves. How good's that? That you're the right person for sure. But and make sure you break that here on Fresh Off the Field, please. But Fiji Independence Day is tomorrow. What sort of celebrations go across the beautiful islands of Fiji?
Well, you know, everyone would have started already. I'm sure that there's lovos that have been put into the ground and ready for the feasts that are going to be happening tomorrow. So, you know, everyone would be decked out in their bula wear, their sula chumbas, their bula shirts, and just being able to go and spend fun, you know, time with their family and their loved ones and celebrating our Independence Day.
Anywhere in particular for yourself being in the UK, you've got any grounds that you want to put the lovo on as well over there? Might be a bit ice cold though. Hard to dig.
It's a little bit chilly at the moment over here. I don't think I'll be putting the lovo on just yet, but, you know, I'll be celebrating it in my own special way.
Yeah, nice work. Well, let's get to what's coming up on the show today. We're going to get you ready for the Melanesia Cup basketball competition, which starts on Monday in the Solomon Islands, and get to know one of the chief organisers, Gloria Hong.
The biggest challenge for me is to learn to manage, because like Honiara, Solomon Islands is a very small country, right? And you almost know everyone, or you're related to almost everyone. And the biggest challenge for me is making a decision not to suit the person that you know, but to suit the organization.
There's also a chat with FIFA referee consultant Neil Poloso, who recently conducted a football referee course in Port Moresby.
One of our main objectives is to come and prepare them so that they officiate the National League on a high level.
Plus, Samoan women's Sylvia Brunt just won bronze at the Women's Rugby World Cup with the Black Ferns, and we'll hear from her.
We spoke about how we can be resilient and how we're only one of two teams that get to stay in a competition after a loss, and it was something we needed to embrace. We also spoke about how we play our best for you when we're joyful.
There's also news in the world of football, bodybuilding, rugby league, squash, cricket, and of course, our very fun trivia and games. So let's get into it.
ABC Radio Australia. Fresh off the field. Feel the power of Pacific sports.
Yes, yeah, so on Fresh Off the Field, you're going to hear sports stories galore. But at the top of the show, we do like to start big. So let's see what's floating around on.
Coconut Wireless.
The Coconut Wireless is where we discuss the biggest news stories in your town, the sport or event or athlete that has everyone talking. And if it's making waves, it'll be on the Coconut Wireless. And Patricia, we're going to start with you in PNG. What have you got for us?
Yeah, so just like every other year, we saw the selection of the PM's 13 men's and women's team that was announced on Monday by the PNG Rugby Football League. And just like every other year, we see a lot of comments and concerns were raised on the selection. Will the players that make up the team, especially from owners of clubs who are competing in the men's and women's national rugby league competition here in PNG. Most of the concerns were raised on the lack of representation from our local players, especially those who play in the national league here. Given that, you know, majority of the team is made up of players from the Host Plus Cup, a few from NRL, Super League, and other competitions outside of the country. While I understand, you know, the concerns that they've raised, especially in trying to build semi-professional players in our national competition here to get them to representing the country in the future, you know, you want, when you're putting together a team to play in a match like PM's 13 or Pacific Championship or any other representative match, teams want to win, and you'd want to get, you know, the quality players that you can get to make up a strong team to put up a good performance. That's another thing to consider as well. So this week, all the buzz has been around the selection of the two teams, not so much as the junior Kumuls and Orchids, but the senior men's and women's team, the men's and women's PM's 13 squads. So a lot of talk's been going around in the local media here, as well as on social media as well, you know, people having their say. But you know, what's done is done, selections being made already and the team set on stone. So we're looking forward to you know, how the games will go, and we'll be obviously people will be judging the performance after the games.
Yeah, it's always tough to get that balance right between the local talent as well as getting, you know, your top-tier talent that is playing around the globe. But you want to, at the end of the day, you want to win that game. You want to make it competitive, and winning solves all the problems. And if the PM's 13 can get the job done, I guarantee all that noise will definitely quieten down. But for yourself, which player are you most excited to see playing for PNG?
Honestly, like, I'm really excited to see all the players. The squad looks really good, but one particular player that I'm super keen, and I hope I go to watch that game. I want to see how Cooper Bai plays, because I saw a video of him arriving, and he's huge. Like, yeah, I didn't think he was that huge until I saw him up and close. So, yeah, I'm really looking forward to watching Cooper Bai play, and I think it's going to be his first representative duty and playing here on home soil. Yeah, that's going to be extra special. His dad's here, so, yeah, I'm really looking forward to see how he'll go.
Yeah, you're not wrong. I'm excited to see SA Banu playing the women's, and I'm also excited to see Sonny Wubble. I just love hearing when he scores 1,000 tries. So hopefully it's a good day in PNG this weekend. But let's get over to Leilani. Hey, I know you've been in the UK doing the royal waves over there, but what's the talk of the town in Fiji?
Well, you know, I'm actually going to follow suit with Patricia because I'm going to be talking about rugby league as well. And you are in luck, Sammy and Patricia, because I am bringing you breaking news from Suva. And the Butties final 20-man squad for the 2025 Pacific Championships have just been officially confirmed. So the wait is over, the stage is set, and there's a real buzz in the air all across Fiji today. So the fans are really hungry for this announcement, and speculation has been running a little bit wild in recent days. And now we have the clarity. The coaching team have made their final cuts, and they've made their calls, and the players who have made it to the final team are ready to do battle for Fiji. So what makes this even more thrilling is some of the big names that have been floating around in rumors that they'd made it into the team were in fact left off. So this has raised a couple of eyebrows, sparking conversation, and making the selection for those that did get into the final team feel all the more special and earned because they have made it through the final cut. So we know that the Buddy faced some absences going in. So of course we had Apisaya Korosawa, Mike Sivo, and of course Viliame Kikau, who were already ruled out from earlier, and they weren't included into the wider squad. But today's final 20 stands on their own merit, and whilst I won't go through every single name that's listed here, I will go through some of the highlights to keep an eye out for. So the squad places emphasis on some of the emerging NRL talents. So they are your young and upcoming players, the likes of Kurt Donohue, Kitione, Kautonga, Caleb Navale, and Kylan Mafoa. So they're all the up-and-coming players that have been knocking on the door for an opportunity. But at the same time, we have a few of the veterans there. So, of course, we have got Sunia Taruva. We've also got, of course, the captain, Tui Kamakamitha. They're remaining in the team and, of course, bringing their wealth of experience to guide these new and upcoming young guns around the field. Importantly, those who have made the cut have now made it a clear-eyed opportunity. So there's no shadows, there's no safety nets. The spotlight is theirs to do with as they wish. And the Pacific Championship is going to be kicking off in Port Moresby on the 18th of October, with Fiji, of course, scheduled to play against the Cook Islands in their opening match, and then playing against the PNG Kumuls. So Cooper Bai, you know, the Fiji boys are coming into your territory, and that's going to be happening on November the 1st. So that will round out the final of the first round of games at that stage. So I can't wait. Looking forward to being able to see all that rugby league action out there in PNG.
Oh, I hate to burst your bubble, but we already broke that news on Nation Footy around the... I'm joking.
Why did you beat me to it? I was so excited.
You're delayed over there in the UK. Sammy, I think you're a day behind. But anyway, one of the big ones in that team, though, I believe that's your son. Still, he's in the squad?
He is. So he made it through to the final 20, and I'm so thrilled. You actually mentioned to Patricia who's the player that you're looking out for to watch. Hands down, I can't wait to see Kylan play.
Kylan Mafoa. Well, how good's that? Nice little mother-son moment there, and we look forward to hearing all the results over the next sort of 4 weeks. So, unreal. Thank you so much, ladies, for filling us in on what's floating around on the Coconut Wireless.
ABC Radio Australia. You're listening to Fresh Off The Field. Uniting the Pacific through the universal language of sports.
All right, it's time to find out what other sport is happening across our islands. And Patricia, we'll start with you in PNG. What's caught your eye?
Yeah, look, like I mentioned earlier, the talk of this week is the Prime Minister's 13 matches that are happening here in Port Moresby. Now, like I mentioned earlier, much of the tickets being sold out already, and everyone's looking, the match is going to be on Sunday, and what's even more special about it is the announcement for the PNG NRL team will be made right after the PM's 13 men's game. So everyone's buzzing to get there to witness this happening live, but on Sunday we will see the junior Orchids take on the Australian Schoolgirls at 9 a.m. first match of the day, followed by the junior Kumuls and the Australian Schoolboys at 11 a.m. And the two main matches of the day, the PM's 13 women taking on the Australians, PM's 13 women at 1 p.m, followed by the match of the day between the PNG PM's 13 men's and the Australians, PM's 13 men's at 3 p.m. PNG time. Now,
everyone's been really looking forward to this, you know, after our local league season ended, NRL season's ended, and now people are looking for the next big thing in rugby league to look at, and this is the most anticipated event of the year. And what's even more special for us is, you know, we've just celebrated our 58th independence anniversary, and this was one of the event that we were looking forward to. Everyone's really looking forward to see how this will go out on Sunday. Teams have been announced already, so I'm hoping the boys will run out there and, you know, put up a fight with the Australians, and hopefully we get the win this time, because I really want this win.
How funny is that? I ask about what other sport is happening across our islands, and yet we go straight back to rugby league in PNG. How good. That's how much rugby league means to the people of PNG, which is fantastic in my eyes. But what exactly are they announcing for the NRL PNG team? Is it the name?
Yes. So I think around last month, the Prime Minister for Papua New Guinea, James Marape, made an announcement that people will suggest names. What do you think the name for the PNG NRL team should be? So there were entries made. People came up with suggestions, and from there they pick out the top four, I think. Yeah. So from there they'll make the selection on which name will be given to PNG's NRL team. So I was a bit skeptical about this. Like, ideally, I'd want the name to remain, well, the NRL team to be called the PNG Hunters, but people have their own suggestions and entries were made. And I think one of the top four names that was suggested for the NRL team was PNG Hunters, you know, given that we already have the Hunters playing in the Queensland Cup. So just like the other NRL teams who have their feeder clubs from the Queensland Cup and into the NRL, this would be the ideal name for me. But there are three other suggested names. I'm not too sure about the names yet. It hasn't been made public. But on Sunday, we will find out right after the PM set in men's match.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm hoping it stays as the Hunters, because just there's a natural progression from what the Hunters have done so far. So it'd be nice to see that name in the NRL. But I believe the Crocodiles, the Angels, the Pythons and the Chiefs are some of the other names that were thrown around. But yeah. For me, Hunters is a clear favourite in my eyes. But let's get over to what's happening across the Pacific. What have you got for us?
Yeah, so across the Pacific, a lot's been happening this week. Just on Monday, the Oceania Football Confederation concluded Women's Under-19 Championship, which also served as the qualifier for the FIFA Under-20 Women's World Cup. And well, obviously New Zealand being the defending champions for the tournament and heavy favorites, undefeated too in the tournament, have won the championship. But joining them in the Under-20 World Cup will be New Caledonia as well. New Caledonia have also qualified for the Under-20 World Cup. So the two teams will be representing the region at the Under-20 World Cup. So, yeah, huge achievement for both teams. Like,
Patricia, what was the score in the final?
So New Zealand beating New Caledonia 3-0. And in the third place playoff, Fiji took on Cook Islands. They beat Cook Islands 3-2 in penalties. So it was a scoreless match, nil all at the end of regulation time and after extra time. So they went into penalties, and the Fijian Under-19 Women's defeated Cook Islands 3-2 in penalties.
Nice. Congratulations to all the teams involved. Now, let's get over to you, Leilani. What do you want to share with us?
So what I'd like to share with you is the amazing achievements by our Fiji bodybuilding team. So last weekend in Tahiti, Team Fiji made history at the 26th South Pacific Bodybuilding Championship, and they brought home not one, but two gold medals. Basil Cleary, in his first ever international outing, competed in the classic physique division, where he delivered an absolutely standout performance. So he showed great discipline out there and composure, and he not only took home the gold medal for that category. He also got dubbed the overall classic physique title winner as well. So not to be overshadowed, we had Robert Purcell also representing Fiji, and he made an equally powerful debut where he won the gold in the 90 kilogram category, pushing even further by finishing second overall with just a really small margin between the winner and also his score. So really close to taking that one out too. So together, Cleary and Purcell mark one of Fiji's most successful showings in the regional bodybuilding competition to date. And these triumphs were not just limited to the stage. We also had Liz Mackey off the stage, who her in her own right, even though she wasn't actually competing this time, she is also a numerous Miss Fiji bodybuilding champion. But in this time, when she went across to Tahiti, she went across as a Fiji, Team Fiji's official. So she also recorded a milestone where she competed and also went and participated, in a skill seminar where she became a certified judge under the South Pacific Bodybuilding Federation. And this is an absolutely big win for Fiji, because having that accreditation will now help further develop the sport in the country. But these achievements went beyond the medals for these athletes, because they dedicated their win to the memory of Jack Superman Yanuyanu Ndrua. They honored his legacy and acknowledged their fallen brother, and also merited him as the inspiration for them going through this competition. Bodybuilding development in Fiji is showing its fruit, because earlier this year we also had the Suva Classic contest, and this served as a qualifying event to sharpen the ground for the competition. And this paid off in leaps and bounds for Purcell, who also had taken the Mr. Suva title in this competition. So the local federation, acting under the acting president of Liz Mackey, used this event to really help to identify and select the competitors that would go across for the team for Tahiti. So despite the challenges such as limited resources, support was pivotal for Team Fiji, and their officials also expressed their gratitude to their amazing sponsors and the supporters who have been backing them every step of the way.
What's grabbed your attention from across the Pacific?
So across the Pacific, I'm heading across to Samoa, and of course, Mason Smalls. Now, he's a well-known face in the squash scene, and he continues to make waves both at home in Samoa and internationally as he carries on his family legacy. Mason is following in the footsteps of his grandfather, who also represented Samoa in squash many years ago. However, today, Mason isn't just about, you know, continuing that tradition. He's basically elevating it. Most recently, he made headlines by winning the singles gold medal at the Oceania Championship, which wrapped up on Wednesday. But that's not all. Mason also took home the Samoa national title just before the Oceania Championship. And to also throw things into the mix, he is currently ranked 8th in New Zealand. So he's proving that he can continue to stay at the top of his game, both regionally and also in Samoa as well. Now, while this might sound like an overnight success, Mason's journey has been anything but easy. He's been a regular competitor in the Australian squash circuit, gaining valuable experience and sharpening his skills out there on the court. And competing in Australia has definitely pushed him to these new heights to perform on the international stage. In addition to his time in Australia in the circuit there, Mason has also been training in the UK, where he continues to develop his game under some of the best coaches in the world. And the UK, as we know, has definitely been a hub for squash excellence. And Mason's time there has given him the access to world-class facilities and coaching, which has definitely helped him to refine his skills even further. It's clear that Mason is not only talented, but he's also incredibly dedicated. To win a title like the Oceania Championships, you need to have more than just the skill. And he has that unshakable drive to be able to get out there and compete at the highest level. So Mason's win for the Oceania Championship and his gold medal are major milestones, but they're also just the beginning. He's already proven that he can hold his own with the world's best, and now he sets his sights firmly to his next challenge, and that is the 2028 Olympics. So definitely an athlete to keep your eye out for.
We had him on that Pacific Sports Show earlier this year, and man, such a humble young man, and it runs in the blood, actually, in terms of athletes and stars. Remember? Do you remember DJ Forbes from New Zealand Sevens captain?
I do, definitely.
Yeah, that's their family members. So that's his nephew. Mace is his nephew. So there you go, sporting family all around. But as always, thank you so much, Patricia and Leilani. It's always great to hear about the sport taking place throughout our Pacific Islands. All right, let's have some fun and get to know our co-hosts a bit more and play Gyam and Stopware, which is Talk Pissin' for Pick the Lie. Each co-host will tell us three things about themselves. Two will be true, one will be a lie, and the other two will try to Gyam and Stopware. It's one of my favorite games here on Fresh Off the Field. And Patricia, we're going to start with you here. Give us, I know you've probably running out of lies at some point, but let's see what you've got for us. What are your three things?
Yeah, okay. So I came prepared with this one. I hope I still have a good poker face. First one, I have been mistaken for a player during a national team camp. The second one is I once ran onto the pitch to fix a media banner mid-game. And the last one, I've never been late to a press conference.
I know which one I'm going for here. Leilani, what are you thinking here?
Well, you know, I was actually going to say my gut is telling me you must have at least run a late to at least one press conference.
110%.
But then I'm also thinking you're not really allowed to run onto a pitch during a game to fix a media banner. So I'm kind of tossing up between the two of them. I'll probably just go with my gut and say running late to a press conference.
I'm going there as well. Hey, Patricia, is our radio show considered a press conference?
No.
Oh, okay. That was a straight no, because I was going to say you were late when we were in our PNG because of that Port Moresby traffic. But
no, that was Jamie, actually. I came on time.
Oh, jokes. It was too. I'm going to change mine and go, you ran onto a pitch to fix a banner, because I'm going to change it now.
So the lie is the second one. I never ran into the pitch. Yeah.
Well, at least I was right there, but I was wrong on that time. It was Jamie. But that's right. You had the coffees ready to go.
I've never been late to a press conference. I'm always on time. Well, I tend to arrive at least 20 minutes before the press conference starts. Still, I've never been late to one.
Yeah, well, there you go. Someone's professional around here. Isn't that right, Leilani?
Hey, why are you looking at me?
I'm not looking. I'm talking to you.
Such a voice.
Let's get to you now. What are your three things?
All right, so I'm going to get the adrenaline pumping with this one. So my first one is I have driven a Formula One race car. My next one is I've jumped out of an aeroplane. And my next last one is I've bungee jumped. So which is the lie?
Ooh, adrenaline junkie. Here we go. Tricia, what are you thinking?
I think I'm going to go with the second one. I don't think you've jumped out of an airplane.
Yeah, these are all very good. I'm just thinking, where have you driven a Formula One car in Fiji, just around the main streets of Suva?
Plausible.
It doesn't have to be in Fiji. Just throwing that out there. I don't know if you could find one in Fiji, to tell you the truth.
Yeah, that's very true. Bungee jumped. Okay. I am going to go, because there's two aerial ones, as in aeroplane and bungee jumping heights, I'm going to say number one is the lie, the car.
Okay. I have actually jumped out of an aeroplane. So I have skydive, I have bungee jump, but I haven't actually driven a Formula One race car yet. It's on the to-do list.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, sometimes I don't know.
So you got it, Sammy.
Yeah, my brain doesn't operate well a lot of the times, but that's what I just picked out there. If you've got two
heights
ones, I just went with logic. So anyway, there we go. We learn something new every week.
Fresh off the field. The sporting pulse of the Pacific. ABC Radio Australia.
All right, it's time to chat to some of the talented people in the Pacific, as well as hearing about the sports results and stories. We always love hearing from everyone involved in the game across the Pacific. And Patricia, we will start with you with your interview. Who did you chat to this week?
Yes, I spoke to Neil Peloso, who is the FIFA referee instructor. He was here in Port Moresby conducting a refereeing course for our elite referees here in PNG, and I asked him to run us through what this course entails.
It's an elite referees course for Papua New Guinea. But I understand the majority is from Port Moresby, due to logistics issues from other areas. But we're happy we see some of the, most of the referees who are in this course are elite referees who are currently officiating in the National League. The objective of the course for sure is FIFA is here first, is to update the referees on the amendments to the laws of the game. Yeah, so we need to update the referees on the latest interpretation and application of the new amendments to the laws of the game. Yeah. Secondly, we also want to come and again update the referees on the different considerations and key factors on the important topics currently big in modern refereeing. Yeah. So we covered all the important topics which it's important for them to continue for their level. So for them, those topics are very important to continue to develop themselves. So that is one. And of course, one of our main objectives is to come and prepare them so that they officiate the National League on a high level. Yeah. So by going through the different concepts of the different office that we have, we also prepare them for the current season and also the season for next year. So the course is very important for the referees. Yeah.
So throughout the week, I understand you had theory sessions in here and then practical outside.
Yes, yes.
How would you describe, you know, your engagement with the referees, their participation?
Yes, of course. It was a small group, which is very, very good. Yeah. So the engagement between the referees and me as an instructor and also my local colleagues over here, it's very good. One is the group is small. Secondly, the message that we passed on to them and the topics that we cover, they actually covered it already from the basic. So the information that we, even though we put it on a high, on this level, on an elite level, they pick it up very well. So the video incident discussions, the considerations and the key factors that we discuss, they are fully engaged. They're fully engaged. And I'm very happy. Most of them, again, they're very young. Some of them are very young. And they're already on this level of training. It will be a good future for PNG referee department and also for the game in Papua New Guinea. Yeah.
All right. Mm. Throughout the week, after a week now, and today is the final day, what are some things you noticed that they've excelled in, and what are some areas of improvement that you would propose?
Both the theoretical and also the practical session, I'm happy that I saw there's some level of experience already here. So when we talked about the different topics, they actually picked it up very quickly, and they understand it. So when we play the decision on the a situation on the TV screen, for example, we want to find the solution, and that solution is the one that they will take it out here. And they actually did the decisions they come up with, is very good for me, and the reasons for the decisions are very good. And when we go to the pitch, we do a training, we do a match preparation. They allow the play, and we see them. They are moving on the areas that we wanted. They make the decisions that we actually discussed on the pitch. So I'm very happy that they pick it up very well. And for some of them, they just need to come out of themselves. Yeah. Open up and be exposed to certain level of the game, certain level of coaching every day, and they will be going. Yeah. So they just need to come out of themselves, be themselves, as we all always said, and become a good referee for the future.
Lastly, after this, you know, what is the way forward for them in terms of upskilling themselves to get certificated to officiate overseas sanctioned matches in the future?
Now, as I said in my closing remark and also continued discussion with the referee development officer, yeah, we have this what we call the OFC pathway. Oh, yeah. So when they go through the member selection pathway, which is some of them now already on there, on the officiating on the National League. The next one is to come through the OFC Academy, OFC badge, and they can become a FIFA badge. Yeah. So now they just need to go and practice. The local member station continue to assist them, continue to guide them, and some of them already, I see, they're ready to be proposed to the OFC badge and also the Academy badge next year. And as soon as they come out of that and we see them on the OFC stage, that is when they will continue to grow. So already there's some very good talent that we identified, and as an instructor who represent OFC and FIFA over here, we also made the decisions of who should be on the OFC badge and also the Academy badge. So already, when the recommendations come, I see them already. It will be easy to recommend them straight away.
Awesome interview there. And Leilani, who did you catch up with this week?
So I had the privilege of chatting to Sylvia Brunt, who, of course, was playing for the Black Ferns at the Rugby World Cup. She is also of a Samoan descent, playing for New Zealand, and I had a bit of a chat to her about how she was feeling after that immense game.
Very grateful for this opportunity and very grateful to have another week with my sisters out on the field. So proud of them, and yeah.
Now, let's go back to last week. Not the result that you were looking for, but what was the focus to be able to, you know, pick yourselves back up again today and head out and get this result today?
We spoke about how we can be resilient and how we're only one of two teams that get to stay in a competition after a loss, and it was something we needed to embrace. We also spoke about how we play our best for you when we're joyful and when we're having fun, so we just really focused on that.
Now, talking about fun, it looked like you were having fun out there.
Yeah. Yes.
What was the most funnest moment or standout moment for you out in the in that game?
There are a lot of moments where I had fun. I obviously love celebrating my teammates, no matter if it's a try or if it's just something little like winning a scrum, pumping up our forwards, winning the ball back. But I don't have one exact moment. It's just really proud of them all, yeah.
Now, let's have a look at the emerging players of the year. Obviously, there is two emerging players of the year that's come from the Black Ferns. Tell us a little bit about your two teammates that have been, you know, put up for this prestigious award.
Braxton and Georgia. They're amazing, eh? They're so chill, and they're really kind people off the field as well. They just play with so much freedom, so much joy, and they, how they play out there is how they train as well. It's really hard to tackle them, but they're awesome, and I hope they go well in the awards. Yeah.
Now, let's have a chat about what we were referred to as the GOAT, Portia Woodman.
Yes.
Now, Portia, she's amazing, and, you know, she's just done so much for the sport, and, of course, as a Pacific Islander, no doubt we are all so proud of her. I understand this is her last time that she'll be representing on the world stage. Tell us, what does it mean to you to be able to walk away with the bronze medal today and play alongside Portia in this last match?
I've been so blessed to play with Portia. She, like you said, she's one of the GOATs, and to be able to have the time with her, it's amazing, man. Her soul's so young. She's so joyful, and she's so authentic. What you see Portia on the field, even off the field, that's how she is with us, with no cameras or nothing around. She's just an amazing human being, and I'm so grateful to play with her.
Now, in terms of Oceania, obviously rugby is still emerging, not so much emerging, but it is growing from strength to strength, especially when we look at the women's game. As the only team representing Oceania out here today, what was that responsibility and what did you want to show to other young girls across the region?
We just want to inspire the next generation to just give rugby a go. We want to inspire each other to be our best versions on and off the field. And no matter the results, we still want to show everyone that we're very blessed and we're very joyful to be in the positions that we are. I guess for me, I grew up and didn't watch much of our own ladies play, and I didn't discover my love for rugby until I was really in high school. So just to be able to be out there and for young girls to see us and just know that they can be us, be it as well, is very special. Yeah.
And what about you and your own personal journey? You tell us that you started rugby back in high school. Yeah. What got you into the sport to start with?
My family loves sports and love their footy, so I actually would watch footy with my dad and my uncles. They'll come over, we have gongai and just put the game on. I started playing when I was running around the ball when I was in primary. Didn't play my first club match until I was in intermediate, but I didn't know that this would be a reality for me until high school. I guess I just loved the physicality and loved running around with the ball and just pursued it. Yeah.
You know, from that young girl running around in primary school and intermediary, did you ever think that you'd be here in London playing at the Rugby World Cup?
No. I don't even think I would be at the last World Cup, to be honest. Not a lot of our people get to explore this side of the world, and just being able to be here to represent not only New Zealand but my people back in Samoa. I have links back to the Tonga as well, family in Australia too, to show them and my little girls, little boys, that we can be on the side of the world and be as great as we are back home.
Unreal work, not just an immense game, it was one of the best World Cups, biggest crowds, so well done to the women's game. It's only going to get bigger and better moving forward. And for myself today, we're going to chat basketball and the upcoming Melanesian Cup from October 13th to 18th in the Solomon Islands at the Friendship Hall in Honiara, where the Pacific Games of 2023 were held. It features the best male and female basketballers in the Pacific from PNG, Fiji, New Caledonia, Vanuatu, and of course, the home nation, Solomon Islands. An emerging leader in Pacific sport, Gloria Hong from the Solomon Islands, has been charged with organizing the event. And I chatted to her and started by asking her about what sport meant to her as a kid growing up in the Solomons.
Well, sport sort of came as I was a very young child. My mom, she's from Bellona, and Bellona is a Polynesian island here in the Solomon Islands, and they love their sport. And I grew up with the first sport of playing netball when I was 10 years old. And I not only love playing sport, but I was very competitive. So unfortunately, when I went to a boarding school, they don't have netball. So I was sort of introduced to basketball when I was in my high school. But later on, I started playing netball. And then I came back to basketball, but more on a leadership position.
When I think about the opportunities now for females playing sport, there's definitely more options. Was it only netball and basketball as options for you growing up and coming through?
Yeah, I think growing up for me back then was netball, because majority of my family members were playing netball. I don't know whether I sort of played netball by default or it was sort of forced into my face that I have to love netball. And basketball, I only went to basketball because my school did not have a netball team. So that's when I played basketball. But most of the children here growing up, basketball was sort of introduced, I think, back in the late 80s. So there were kids playing basketball by then, which for me, it was a bit later that I joined basketball.
And how did you get into sports leadership?
Because I'm very much involved in netball, right? Sometimes there's always frustration of your expectation on how it should be, the environment of that sport. And, you know, sometimes you get frustrated when you expect, oh, why are we not developing? Why are we not getting this opportunity? Why are, you know, it's always the why that sort of like makes me sort of well aware. Okay, so if I am one day to contribute, where do I fit in? Outside of sport, I'm very passionate about good governance, because that's always the fundamental, I would say, a start to, you know, to development. So in other areas, I serve as board member. So when I came into basketball, I actually was co-opted by the current SIBF executive to join them as one of their board members, and I willingly took up the responsibility.
It always starts off with people, you know, asking questions, why, but it's always someone who stands up to make those changes. And I've got no doubt there's a lot of challenges, there's a lot of barriers that you have to overcome when you're put in a position of leadership. What's been your biggest challenge so far?
The biggest challenge for me is to learn to manage, because like Honiara, Solomon Islands is a very small country, right? And you almost know everyone, or you're related to almost everyone. And the biggest challenge for me is making a decision not to suit the person that you know, but to suit the organization. So that's the biggest challenge for me. In leadership role, it's all about making good decisions. And most of the time, this decision might affect someone you know. For me, that's the biggest challenge. And for basketball, it's quite challenging to come in now at this time when basketball itself are trying to do the right thing, I guess, in some ways. I mean, they went through a lot of challenges in the past to an extent that they were blacklisted. Like Solomon Island Basketball Federation was blacklisted at one point because they were mismanagement of a lot of things that in result to that. So where we are right now is we're trying to, you know, show our partners that, yes, we can do it right. We can also give confidence back to our corporate sponsors that there's processes in place that to make sure that there's accountability and transparency in serving and leading SIBF. So it's us coming in right now is more trying to show to our partners that, yes, we can do better.
I love what you said there around making good decisions. Your job is to make good decisions, and sometimes it might offend people. But one of my favourite sayings, if you want to keep people happy, go sell ice creams and don't become a leader. But when you think of your role, being a woman in a predominantly male-dominant space when it comes to leadership, what obviously makes a good leader, but what makes a good female leader in a male-dominant space?
Respect. I have to respect the men around me. For me, it's just focused on what I should do, what I'm mandated to do, my duty and my responsibility, and at the same time, just respect everyone around me. Because end of the day, me being a woman, me being a woman or a man taking up leadership role, doesn't matter. It's just about doing the right thing.
Yeah, love that. And with the upcoming Melanesian Cup just about to happen, yeah, how exciting are these games and what should we be looking forward to?
So we've been looking forward to having all the five participating countries because I believe we've never had all five participating countries in one event. So this is exciting because we are hosting and all five participating countries are confirmed to attend. We are looking very much forward to welcoming them to the Happy Hours. As always, it's always going to be a challenging time. You know, just try to make sure there's smooth preparation because we all wanted to deliver a good game.
And when I think about the Pacific mini games that just happened in Palau, one of my favorite events there was the 3-on-3 basketball tournament. It was fast, it was exciting, and, you know, the half courts and two games going at once, and you could just, yeah, choose which one you wanted to watch. How does 3-on-3 basketball fit in with, you know, maybe the Melanesian Cup or even moving forward into other tournaments?
So for 3x3, most of our kids that are playing 3x3 are the one playing at the 5x5 as well. So I'm sure they'll fit in really well to the 5x5. Our kids that were representing us at the mini games, they'll be part of our national team for the 5x5.
Nice. And who are the favourites? And you can't be biased here.
I can't.
Or you can be if you want to.
I mean, I can't be biased, especially for a cheer lady. My job is to make sure that I serve this five country well. But of course, you know, I'm a Solomon Islander at heart and always.
I love it. I love that. And finally as well, like you've also been selected into the We Lead program. It must be a pretty cool feeling to be recognised for all your hard work and what you've achieved so far.
Yes, it is always an honour to be recognised for an effort, not so much an effort, but your passion in that space of leading. You know, being one of the 12 participants in this We Lead program, I take it as an honour to grow myself as a woman in this leading space, representing Solomon Island basketball, but also in general as a Solomon Islander woman, you know, taking the leading space in trying to serve my country or the people that I represent.
What's one area of your leadership that you would hope to gain a bit more growth in after you're going through this program?
What I'm hoping to learn through this program is addressing the challenges and manage your emotions. And yes, I think it's all about, to me, is I'm hoping to learn how my other women are managing their challenges and how they manage the emotions as well. Because to me, that's one of my biggest challenge. It can be good, it can be bad, but when you're passionate about something, like your heart and your soul goes into it.
Gloria, an absolute legend, and it's been a pleasure to speak with you. I wish you all the best moving forward and keep leading the way, because I'm sure you're going to inspire plenty of other women out there to follow in your footsteps. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Tomas.
Fresh off the field. The Sporting Pulse of the Pacific. ABC Radio Australia.
Again, thank you so much, Patricia and Leilani, for those chats. We love meeting people in sport from across the region.
Fresh off the dome.
Well, we're going to change it up here and play another favourite game of mine on Fresh Off the Field. We only have two, so they're both my favourites. Anyway, every week I'll ask three questions. Patricia and Leilani, they're going to use their name as their buzzer. And of course, you want to play along at home. Make sure you scream out your name and get ready to play Fresh Off the Dome. Ladies, are we ready?
Yes.
We're ready.
Let's do this.
Oh, let's do this. I like that. There's a bit of confidence there. I'm probably leaning towards your way, Patricia, for the win here. Question number one, multiple choice. Samoa kicked off their cricket campaign in the T20 Cricket World Cup qualifiers alongside other Asian and Pacific nations overnight and lost, unfortunately, lost to which country? Was it A, Oman?
Leilani.
Sorry.
Okay, no. Well, hey, Patricia, you've jumped the gun there. I'm going to let you go because you don't want to hear the other options.
Yeah, no, I think I know the answer for this one because I watched a match.
All right, go for it. Give me the answer.
They lost to Oman. They scored 92 runs and lost 9 wickets.
Oh, and you've given me the score as well. Is that bonus point?
Yeah, I watched
areas?
The game.
Well, you are correct.
That wasn't in the rules.
You are correct. It was Oman. Hey, are you still asleep over there, Leilani? That was very quick. I knew I was going to back the right person so far. But yes, Oman. PNG plays Samoa tomorrow.
She got that one.
Yep. PNG plays Samoa tomorrow, and the winner of that game is now now crucial for both of the Pacific nations. So
Yes. Stay
tuned. Will you be watching that one, Patricia?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, so I'll make sure that question's not in next week.
I'm a bit of a cricket junkie still.
All right, perfect. All right, let's go to question number two. Are you a soccer junkie as well?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Well, you might get this one. Australian A-League team Brisbane Roar travelled to Honiara over the weekend and drew in their game against the Solomon Islands national team. What was the score in the draw?
Patricia.
Go for it, Patricia. What are you thinking?
1-1.
Oh, shut the gates, everyone. We have a clear winner, a clear favourite, someone who's come prepared. Yes, it was 1-1. 1-1. Shout out to 20-year-old Clavett Sam, who scored for the Souls and plays for Greenshield FC in the S League as well. But I don't know. We don't need to go to the other one. Leilani, donuts.
That's okay. All I can say is well done. Well played, Patricia. Congrats.
Never late and has come prepared for Fresh Off the Dome. How good was that? And that brings us to the end of our show for this week. A big thank you to my co-host, PNG journalist and media manager for PNG Football, Patricia Kiamo. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me, Sam. Leilani, it's always a pleasure to co-host with you.
I thought you were going to say, Leilani, better luck next week with the games. But anyway, you don't want to rub it in. You're obviously different to me, but a big vanaka to our Fijian superstar on and off the field, Leilani Burns.
Vanaka Bakalevu, always a pleasure, Patricia. And, you know, I think this is probably how many times you've beat me now at that game, but, you know your stuff and congrats. And, Sammy, I'm glad I wasn't playing against you because, you know, I know you would probably just rub it in. So,
I'll only rub it in.
Catch you next time.
I never win, so I can't rub it in. So don't worry about that. And safe travels back home to Fiji when you do travel back there eventually. And a big thank you for listening to Fresh Off the Field, the Sporting Pulse of the Pacific on ABC Radio Australia. I'll be back next week with two new co-hosts talking all things sport in our region. And this episode was produced on the lands of the Gadigal people.
This program has been funded by the Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade.